See anything you like?
Have you all got amnesia? They just cheated us!
They're coming. Get you, Barbara.
We've got a death curse!
There's a shark.
Rattle. Little pig, let's come in.
Sometimes.
What was living behind that boy's eyes was purely and simply evil.
I'm just gonna bash your brains.
This is
Welcome to the CineScare podcast. I am one of your hosts, Matt Speak.
And I am also one of your hosts, Joe Jans.
And with us, as always, is the super fan, Mr. Mark Biscotti.
Aloha.
And with us, as always, as well, is Catherine Horan.
Hello.
So,
good morning.
We are now in March.
What a story, Mark.
I hit the wrong one. Oh, wait, there we go.
Oh, hi, Mark.
Hi, March. Oh, hi, March.
Yeah.
So here we are in March. Joe.
Matt.
Anything exciting going Catherine, on in your world?
I wouldn't say exciting. Are you asking me like in general or
I don't know.
Like what movies I watched. I don't know what segue we're on now. I lost
Well, we can I guess the exciting thing is Mark went to Hawaii. Right?
I did.
Actually the exciting thing is Mark made it back from Hawaii.
That's
Yeah, wait, no, it was fun.
No shark ate him.
I didn't want to leave. That's for sure. I did not want to leave. I burned the bottom of or the top of my feet, you know, because I thought just because my toes were in the sand, and you know, I'd be safe, but not the top of my feet. No, they got a little scorched, But other than that, I didn't really burn. I'm already kind of losing my tan, which kind of sucks. So, oh well. But I got a great tattoo. I got a Jaws tattoo, and it's amazing. It's the chalkboard
Quint drawing
from Jaws. Got with the Alex Kittner boy in there, and you know, it's my favorite movie, so that's why I got it. I got it in Hawaii, and you know, there's sharks in Hawaii, and I overcame my fear of swimming in the ocean with sharks. I was always afraid of, you know, getting eaten by a shark. So that's a triple threat tattoo right there. So I'm really happy with it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Did you catch any fish?
No, I didn't fish. At all? No fishing. I just sat on the beach, watched surfers, swam in the ocean, had great tuna, great food. Shaved ice, just took it easy, hiked, saw 150-foot, you know, waterfall. It was everything I was told it was going to be and much more, and I want to go back. Definitely want to go back. 7 days was not enough. I should have done 10, but that's getting up there in the price range.
Yeah. Huh. Well, Joe, what did you watch recently?
I watched a whole bunch of stuff, starting with 2004's Spider-Man 2, Tobey Maguire. I don't know why, but I just got on this kick that I'm like, I'm going to rewatch all the Spider-Mans.
Best one in the whole entire, in my opinion.
I'm not looking forward to watching Spider-Man 3, but I got to push through it. And then horror-related, I rewatched Eden Lake. I really enjoyed that film. And even this is the third time I've watched it. It's still, you're on the edge of your seat the whole time. Like you just want to beat one of those kids, you know, help out Fassbender. See if you can take some of those kids off his hands. I had a friend of mine that he said he had never seen the F1 movie with Brad Pitt and he was going to watch it on his phone. And I absolutely forbade him for doing that. I'm like, good. You got to come to my house, watch it on the big screen TV with the rumbled chairs and everything. So we watched that. And then last night, my wife and I watched Becky, which is back on Netflix.
Mm.
The Kevin James film.
Mark, yeah. Yeah.
Saw that little girl. That
yeah.
He's a Nazi. Great film.
I think I've seen that.
You haven't seen? I was. It's on Netflix. Oh,
Becky Watch too.
It. Yeah. There's The Wrath of Becky. Is yeah, also the out there.
The Wrath of Becky, like the Wrath of Khan.
I liked the Wrath. I think I liked Wrath of Becky better than Becky.
Really?
Than the first one.
Yeah. I liked Kevin James so much in the first one. I think he really needs to stop playing the chubby, lovable romance interest, and he should really start pursuing being a villain. I thought it was really good in it. And then last but not least, I was having trouble falling asleep, so I watched Gross Point Blank. And ended up watching the entire thing before I could fall asleep. So, God. And now, of course, I'm watching John Carpenter's The Thing as we're recording.
Nice. How many times have you seen rewatches for you?
How many times have you seen Gross Point Blank?
If I'm not in triple digits, I'd be surprised.
Holy shit.
But I don't think I've seen it half as many times as I've seen like Star Wars or Jaws or Indiana Jones. I mean, it's up there, but it's not top of the list.
Yeah.
The Last Crusade.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's yeah. So no, that's why I watch movies. I rank them based on their rewatchability. So, you know, that's most of my collection. Everything that's in my collection, I've seen at least three times.
Hmm.
Except for The Green Knight.
Stop it. Stop it, Jones. Yeah, yeah.
I was going to say, that's not true, because there have been movies you've bought and then regretted it later.
Yeah, like Green Knight.
Mandy, oh, Mandy. I've watched at least, I don't know how many times I've watched Mandy. Several.
I've rewatched Matt's gift to me, Mandy, a couple times. It's really good.
I've seen it twice. So
I think
the second
times.
Time we watched it for the show.
Right. Yes, that was number two. So
yeah.
That's really about it. Scrubs came back on the air. I watched those first two episodes. That was fun.
How was it?
It was good. I liked it.
Still funny?
Yeah. I mean, I'm giving it a little grain of salt. I was a big fan of the original series, except for the last season. But, they're trying. I'm not writing anything off yet. So
is John C.
He McGilly? Was in the first two episodes.
Okay, cool.
But I don't know if he's going to be on permanently. There's things in the show that make me think that he's not.
Mm.
So I'm watching that. I'm still watching The Pit, which is really good on HBO.
Yeah, The Pit is awesome.
Yeah. So that's it. That's it for me. That's all I've been watching. I've been, before I forget, I just got Resident Evil Requiem for my Nintendo Switch, but I'm not allowing myself to play it until I finish Metroid 4, which I'm two-thirds of the way through. So it's killing me. I'm flipping through social media, and all I see are people talking about Resident Evil Requiem, and I'm like, I got to finish this other game first. Because if I don't, I'll never get back to it. I know me. So that's it.
Yeah.
Riveting.
riveting. Mark, what did you watch? Anything? Oh, yeah. You went to see Scream today, didn't you?
I literally got out of the movie theater 2 hours ago, and I saw Scream 7.
No spoilers, but how'd you like
notes?
No spoilers. You know me. I don't like to spoil. it's true. I don't like spoiling. Without spoilers, it's not my favorite Scream movie. It's not my least favorite. Basically, Sidney Prescott returns to the Scream franchise with now a 17-year-old daughter, and guess what? Ghostface returns. What also returns is a heaping plate of nostalgia. Kevin Williamson, the original writer of Scream, is writing Scream 7, and he also directed it, and he just dumps 30 years of Scream onto his script, onto the film, and it gets a little bit tiring. I mean, he's got the music, you know, the Devil's Right Hand song going, the same kind of music all the way through, just like most of the other Screams, but it was a little bit too much on the nose. The callbacks from the original Scream 30 years ago, we got, like, her daughter she named her daughter Tatum, just like her best friend from the original. Really on the nose.
I'll allow it.
Yeah, it's fine. She does that. No, it's a spoiler. This movie does have some of the most brutal kills in the franchise. There is two kills that are really, really fun, especially one in a bar scene. You didn't think they were going to go that far, and they did. And it is kind of just a jarring kill that none of the Scream films have ever done before. And there's a little humor in it. And I was laughing, and my mouth did drop a little. I did jump one time, which was surprising. It was only one jump scare for me that actually got me. Of course, Courtney Cox returns. I've said this before. I'll say it again. Just looking at her is so jarring with her plastic surgery. She used to be so beautiful, and now looking at her, I don't know what I'm looking at anymore. It's just, I can't get through.
Does she look like Jim Carrey?
Right. That Jim Carrey thing was crazy recently. Yeah. If you haven't seen it, it's nuts. But she just doesn't look like Courtney Cox, and just the plastic surgery, it just takes away her performance always from now on for me. The introduction of Gale Weathers is, I swear to God, she comes out like a Marvel superhero appearance, like boom, like there's Gale Weathers. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, no, don't do that. And unfortunately, the ghost face reveal at the end is the least satisfying. You just makes you want to go, how? It's the worst Ghostface reveal in the whole entire franchise, and it takes away from everything else that the film had going for it. Apparently,
who was
there's
it this time.
I want to tell you. This is, I want to tell you.
It's Fozzie Bear.
Fozzie Bear.
But I will say that this film is based on nostalgia, and there is I can't even, that's a spoiler too. I'm gonna leave it alone. A lot of spoilers are not spoilers, nostalgia and something else that's very recent in on the internet right now. I think you can guess it, that everybody's been talking about recently. So anyways, out of five cuts, I'm gonna give it two cuts, and that's about it. Hopefully part eight, they're starting filming, I guess, in a month. Hopefully they get on track and whatnot.
I have a question for you, Mark.
Yes, go ahead.
I've seen the other six Scream movies, but some of them, it's been a minute. Should I refresh my memory on any of them before seeing the seventh one, or can I go in kind of cold?
You can go in cold. There are two returning characters from Scream 6, but when you see them, you'll know. But when you do see these two characters returning from Scream 5 and 6, you're going to go, why are they here and why are they not in New York? And how it's explained, it's not really explained well. They're just put in there, and they're with Gale Weathers when she shows up, and it's just really jarring, and it's just poor writing. There's a lot of poor writing in this film, and it's really surprising from Kevin Williamson. He directed it fine, but there's the line delivery is really bad. Some of the dialogue is really bad, and I just can't recommend it. If you're a Scream fan like I am, like you probably already seen it this weekend, or you'll see it, this upcoming weekend. I'm pretty sure. If I saw right, it's already made its money back. Mm-hmm. So Scream 8 is on the way. Ghostface takes Manhattan. So it's going to keep coming. Yeah. Oh, wait, Ghostface already took Manhattan.
Right. That was the last movie.
Yeah.
Yikes. Yeah, it's true.
Ghostface on a boat.
But there were no punk rockers with a boombox.
Boombox. Yeah.
No, Jason did it better. So that's basically, like, besides, because I was on vacation, that's basically all I've pretty much watched, besides Knights of the Seven Kingdom, which is absolutely brilliant. brilliant.
Yeah, it's
really
great.
Brilliant.
It's great.
It's brilliant. It's like a fairy tale. It's so good. I love it.
Catherine, did you watch anything new?
I did. I've got kind of a hodgepodge of things. I saw in the movie theater, it's horror adjacent, but Good Luck, Have Fun, Don't Die, which was a lot of fun. It was a little too long, probably cut 20, 30 minutes out and it would have been perfect. But that was a fun movie. I didn't know a whole lot about it going into it. And I'm glad I didn't. So if you go see it, try to go in as cold as you can. But that was a fun ride. Sam Rockwell was fantastic. After our discussion last episode, we decided to try watching The Burbs on Peacock, and we're about four episodes in.
How is it?
And it's fun. You know, it's fun. It's like the perfect show to watch, like at the end of the night, right before you go to bed. You know, it's kind of lighthearted. It's kind of silly, but it's got some nice kind of horror-ish moments. It's nothing super scary. It's all kind of tongue-in-cheek, but it's fun. So I'm enjoying it so far. We'll see how I think it's eight episodes total. So we'll see how the back half goes. But yeah, definitely recommend at least trying an episode or two.
Jimmy's friend is in that Chad something. I can't remember his name now, but Jimmy works with him.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, all the characters are kind of offbeat and a little odd, but that's kind of what makes them lovable. I watched The Mist. Svengoolie is stepping up his game lately, so he watched The Mist on that the other week, and then I went with a friend of mine to a horror comedy show called Horror Nerd. Matt, have you heard of Horror Nerd out here?
No.
So they do. They do a. It's a comedy show. It's the main lady. Her name is Samantha Hale, and each month she has a handful of different comics that perform with her. And it's usually at the Hollywood Improv, although I saw her on Friday at the Mortuary in Pasadena. And they do, it's about an hour, hour and a half set, and it's just jokes about horror movies. So it's all kind of fun, and definitely recommend checking it out. And she's got a special on Amazon Prime that you can watch called Horror Nerd. And it's only 45 minutes if you want to check it out.
Yeah.
And that's all I watched. Yeah.
Nice. I didn't really watch much of anything. I just haven't had time with everything else I've had to do. But yeah, Night of the Seven Kingdoms is fantastic. It's the best Game of Thrones thing since maybe, you know, fourth season of Game of Thrones. So
it's wonderful.
Each episode's only a half hour, which I'm like, oh, I wish they were a little longer, but it is, it's kind of a nice bite size sort of thing, but it's so beautifully done. It's really great.
Mm-hmm.
And what else? Oh, well, yeah. Bridgerton isn't even, I suppose, horror adjacent. So no, we haven't watched much. I haven't watched much of anything else.
Shelley's obsessed with it. I can't stand it.
Oh really?
Yeah. So when I go and play video games,
I think it's kind of fun. Yeah, I guess that's it. So
are you under the weather, Matt? You seem a little down in the dumps.
Nah, I'm good. let's see. I'll tell you later.
Okay.
I won't bring the things down with what I have to say.
Okay.
Here we go. Oh, why is it not working? There we go.
Jeez.
And so this week is Mark's pick, and he's got two good movies for us all to watch. A couple good, pretty good horror movies. And then I think movies. He had like a side project he was working on.
What was that, Joe? Was this?
This was Mark Piscati's pick.
Oh, you mean Hoss? I don't call him by his Christian name. His name is now Hoss forever.
What, why is that, Joe?
Because that's what the big fat Texan cop calls what's his name in Basic Instinct.
Oh, did you watch that recently?
Basically Stinks. Yeah.
I don't remember that because I haven't seen that in years. What made you watch that, Joe?
It was on the, it was a commercial. It was a trailer.
Oh, okay.
For movies I will never watch.
All right, Mark. So take us through. What were these goddamn picks you gave us?
Both of them.
All three. Both of them. Three, guys.
Three. Oh, well, no. What did I miss?
Well, it's erotic thrillers, everybody. It's erotic thrillers. And finally, it's here. Erotic thrillers. And I can't tell you how pleased I am to bring this topic to all of you listeners out there. This topic has been brought up for years on the CineScare podcast, and I've been shot down, put down.
Has been brought up. He says it like people just keep clamoring upon, for this bullshit.
Used as a slur, shit on, slapped around like a redheaded stepchild.
Stupid
with all
is
that
stupid
said,
does.
Stupid is what stupid does. With all that said, I would like to thank my comrade in arms, my lifeline, the one who encouraged me with the one text, quote unquote, do it, Miss Host Catherine Horan. Thank you so much for your encouragement, Catherine.
You've been talking about this for years. You know, you might as well just do it.
Yeah, yeah.
You did it.
And Mark cowardly left town and left it to Catherine, who doesn't know him well enough yet to see through his bullshit.
What do you mean? What do you mean? Catherine even said that other horror podcasts has reviewed Basic Instinct.
Oh, that was your research?
No, I did more research.
You said considered horror. My research tells me
somebody else did it.
I've done research, Matthew. I've done
Catherine
research.
Catherine said she's pretty sure other horror podcasts have done it.
So
that's all the research I needed.
No, I actually did more research than that, Mr. Matthew Speak. So erotic thrillers is a genre of film that blends suspense, crime, and mystery with explicit sexual tension and intimate scenes. Popularized in the 1980s and 90s, they often feature obsession, manipulation, and seduction as a dangerous plot device.
But not
I love erotic thrillers. I find this genre extremely fascinating, especially the films of the late 80s and 90s timeline. Films like...
What a story, Mark.
Films like Fatal Attraction that I did not pick, Bad Influence that I did not pick, Dress to Kill that I already had picked, and everybody loved that film, Jagged Edge, Angel Heart, Bound, Wild Things, Jade, Single White Female, and of course Sea of Love with the perfect Al Pacino.
You forgot Sliver.
I was going to pick Sliver, but I'm not really a fan of that one. That was a little bit too much off of Basic Instinct. You know,
no, I would have done Fatal Attraction.
You would have not done Fatal Attraction.
Yeah, actually, I would have.
You would have?
Yeah.
I was going
to
pick.
That to me is closer to horror. It's almost like Home Invasion, but
yeah,
you know,
that's true.
Doesn't matter now. Cat's out of that bag. Can't ring that bell.
Well, it's a great genre that isn't explained enough. So I'm happy. So I'm happy to bring a little flick of a tongue to taste of this genre.
It seems to me like you're an expert, Mark.
So let's get started.
Can we wrap this up, Hoss?
In a few minutes, bitch.
Yeah, in a few minutes, bitch. God dang it. Oh, Catherine, help me out.
Hey, Joe, what did you watch recently?
Shut up, Brian.
Good job, Brian. Thank you, Brian.
Shut up, Brian.
Have you cleared the board yet, Matt?
So let's start off with one of the picks, okay? We're going to start off with Cat People, 1982, directed by Paul Schrader, who was a hot director coming off the wildly successful film American Gigolo. This film was actually a remake of a B-low-budget movie, Cat People, from 1942. This 1982 version that we watched had pretty much the same premise and storyline, but amped up considerably with body horror effects and sexual tension. The storyline is Irina, actress Natasha. Yeah. Kinski. She was all right on the ice. Reunites with her brother Paul, played by Malcolm McDowell, in New Orleans. Paul reveals their family secret. They belong to a race of werecats who transforms into Black Panthers after having sex with a human. To turn back into human, they must kill someone. Paul pressures Arena into a sexual relationship to avoid the killing cycle, but she falls in love with a zookeeper named Oliver, played by actor John Hurd. I never knew it anyone. Melissa. Oh, yeah, it is.
Get the Melissa, sultry vocals of Joe.
Melissa. What are you thinking, sweet Melissa?
Is that really by Jamie Farr from MASH?
No.
No.
No. That was a joke. I think we established that it was a joke.
Oh, I thought you were seriously. I was trying to find the video of him on YouTube, because I was like, I really wanted to see Jamie Farr with that nose singing that song. I was looking on YouTube for it, and I couldn't find it.
I was looking for Jamie Farr's solo album. I could not find it.
I couldn't find it. I was like, top of am I the thinking of the wrong charts. Jamie Farr?
Mark made a boner.
All right, so let's start off with Miss Catherine Horan. We're going to start with her. We're going to leave Matt and Joe alone for a little bit. Let them just contemplate life. All right.
Well, you might wish you started with Matt or Joe. This movie was
shit.
So stupid. just everything about it was stupid. I wish we had watched the original 1940 version. The David Bowie song. I love David Bowie. That song was.
No, yeah, we watched the original for one of Jimmy's
long time ago. Actually.
Did we?
Yeah,
Jimmy. Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, I still wish we'd watched that again. the opening scene. We were joking. It's the cavemen type. I don't know, just old timey people. They're surrounded by dogs, and I was like, isn't this supposed to be cat people, not dog people? The whole story is just so weird. I think that New Orleans Zoo is the worst zoo ever.
Yes.
I had the same note.
Could they have had smaller pens for those poor animals?
I know.
Not just that, but anybody can walk up and stick their hand in the damn cage.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
That was insane.
Exactly. Yeah.
Some of the worst zookeeping ever.
Right. Well, you got Ed Begley Jr.
These were not great zookeepers.
No, but it was a great cast. It was fun seeing John Hurd and Malcolm McDowell and Ned O'Toole and a nice little appearance by John Larroquette there before Night Court. Let's see. Yeah, just when Malcolm McDowell takes his sister to the house and there's all those creepy masks in the closet. I was like, what is that all about? My favorite part was when the lady's getting attacked by the panther. She falls down the stairs and her bra pops open.
Poof.
Poof. I was like, of course. Yeah. when John Hurd is just walking, he's showing, I don't remember, he must have been with a Ned O'Toole or Ed Begley Jr. or somebody. He just takes a dead rat out of his pocket. Here, give this to the animals. So he just walks around with rats in his pocket. Like, okay. This and Dracula. What is it with women going outside barefoot in the middle of the night? Both the main woman in this, and I think it was Winona Ryder in Dracula, in the middle of the night, wake up from a dream and go outside in their bare feet, walking around. And then the incest part of this movie, I was like, where did that come from? I don't know, this movie was just all over the place. Thanks, Mark. Don't need to watch this one again.
That was the most brutal review I think I've ever heard Catherine do.
So yeah, that was pretty rough for Catherine.
It's rough for God.
Too long. It shouldn't have been 2 hours.
I agree. It was about an hour too long. least 45 minutes.
It was a nice short movie.
It was a little long. Let's go to, oh God. It's like who to pick. I'm looking at both of them. Right. Well, let's go with Matt. Let's go with Maddie.
I don't think I'd ever seen this before, and I wish that I had never seen it. No, it wasn't that bad. I think I might have liked it a little bit more than Catherine, but not really that much more. Pretty good cast. It is too long. Shave off half hour of this, and I don't know that it's a good movie, but at least it's not unbearably long. Man, what a terrible zoo. John Hurd's got the worst dating jokes. They're like driving and he has this, hey, check out that boat. Like, that's a big joke and he keeps doing it. I would have smacked him if I was on a date with him. I'm going out on a limb here, but I bet Ed Begley wished he'd been armed.
Oh my God. Hey,
Matt, could you please give yourself a rim shot?
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
I hate this though. There's this big delay on here. Like when I click it, it's still like 3 seconds before it goes. And he found that panther disarming. Let's see. Oh, he'll never get into the army now.
That's just armed with all the jokes.
Who needs Joe? Oh my God.
Let's see.
Somebody give him a hand.
The old look at that boat, touch her shoulder awkwardly move always gets him. And then John Hurd, he's got, somebody in one of the scenes had a really nice Nikon camera. I have one very much like it. I couldn't tell which one it was because they had it, the model number covered. But then John Hurd, they cut to him and he's taking photos of her using what looks to me like a Canon AE-1, but the labeling on it is all covered, not very well. It's not like it's covered to make it look seamless. It looks like they have some, I don't know, duct tape over the branding. I'm not sure exactly what they did, but it was terrible. Sorry, I really like seeing film cameras in those old movies. Let's see. Oh no. Oh yeah. There, I don't know if you guys noticed this, but Natasha Kinski has a really weird pinky toe that
I noticed it.
Had
it.
Like
it was
a
really
life of
weird.
Its own and was standing up straight and moving around. I for a second, like Michelle was like, oh my God, check out her toe. And so we rewound and I thought maybe like that was part of her process of growing it, becoming a, but no, I think she just has one of those weird, like, pinky
toes.
Yeah,
it just goes up and, like, over. And I noticed it, too. It,
like, wiggles
up.
Yeah.
It was weird.
I mean, you know, what could she do? But, and I thought the pacing on this was really slow. This actually I got off of IMDb. During the leopard autopsy scene, when Oliver is moving the dead cat, supposedly dead, if they just had a sedated cat, I guess, the panther, from the cart onto like the autopsy table, the cat's head kind of lops off of the cart a little bit, and it doesn't bang into the table, but it kind of, you know, it's not supported, his head. And so you can hear in the background somebody say, easy, like the animal handler in the background, and it's still in there. So I saw this on IMDb as I was kind of looking through it to fill some of the gaps in the pacing of this. I was looking through IMDb, and it said this. So we listened and rewound that to that part and listened. And yes, the sound of somebody on set, the animal wrangler, saying easy when he lets the head. Yeah, it's still on there. It apparently in the Blu-ray edition they removed that sound, but that didn't come out until 2017. So for a good 20 you know, what, 30 years or whatever, that sound was, that guy saying easy was still in there. I don't understand why there was a full arm inside the cat. Like what kind of, I don't know why that would be there. I guess, Paul Schrader, the rumor is Paul Schrader and Natasha Kinski, Natasha Kinski had an affair during the production, and, Schrader fell in love. And, after the movie was over, she said, "No, I just sleep with all my directors."
Oh my God.
Apparently the line was, "Paul, I always fuck my directors, and with you, it was difficult." Now there's been, jeez, you know, there was some question as to whether she actually said that, but,
it's original Catherine Tramell.
So what I didn't understand is they become cat people by having sex with a big cat, right? That the Indian people or whoever it was in the first story or at the beginning. Now, I don't know if that's going back in time. I suppose it is, right? I don't know.
That's what I
couldn't
assume.
Tell if they were African tribes that are around today or if this is way back in history and that's how it all started.
I thought it was like way back in time.
Way back in time, I thought.
I thought it was the dirt farmers of the Paleolithic era.
To be specific.
But then they're not supposed to have sex. They're not supposed to have sex in human form or they'll eat the person. And somehow they're supposed to have sex only with their siblings. But their parents were cats. I don't know. I guess their parents were siblings too. It was all very confusing, this whole lore of the thing. I'm not quite sure how these tribesmen came up with the idea of having a woman have sex with a Black Panther. And it seemed pretty gentle because the Black Panther kind of jumped up there. You know, was like, hey, wanted to make out first or something. Yeah. So not great. I think I gave this one 2.5 cuts though. So
hey, 2.5.
Well, two
I'll
and a half
that one.
For my ratings means disappointing.
Disappointing.
But it was entertaining enough in a bad movie kind of way. I would never want to watch it again. But it was entertaining enough. I liked the music. The Bowie song is not one of his better songs, but I did like the incidental like synthesized music. So, and Natasha Kinski, you know, she was very attractive, beautiful, beautiful woman, at that time. And I mean, even as an older woman, she's still beautiful, but,
She was stunning.
And there were loads of boobs in this, by the way. I think every woman who had any lines in this had their boobs out, but, not a bad movie, or I mean, no, I shouldn't say that. Not a great movie, but I'm glad we watched it at least.
Yeah, we marked it off the list.
Yeah,
Joe,
it wasn't on my list to mark off.
Okay,
my first
okay. wasn't this on mine.
Okay, all right.
This is
all
the
right.
longest intro to a movie ever. I just wanted to get on with it, and then we open up with like.
Oh, you
I
mean
said
the
before.
Opening credits?
Yeah, just yeah. I mean, yeah. I'm. Come on. And then, like I said, we open up to a bunch of dirt farmers. And then the next thing I know, I see Natasha Kinski coming in on an airport, meeting up with Malcolm McDowell. I don't know who these people are. And I have no idea the relationship between them and the dirt farmers that I just got done watching.
Well, and I was a little confused because of the way that they transitioned that. They had a close-up on that tribal girl's face, and then it that you know the transition sort of in a way morphs into Natasha Kinski? And I was like, is that her when she was younger? So I did get a little confused about what time frame those tribal people were, but
and I don't know how this John Hurt, how he's running that zoo, because he just gets reamed for not having enough money. And then, like, in the next scene, he turns around and hires this girl to work in the gift shop out of the blue. Like, where in the hell did they come up with the money for that? Shouldn't it go towards the animals first, or at least to repair John Bagley's arm?
Well, he just wanted to use some of his great lines.
Well, yeah.
Wanted to keep her close.
Again, I put that zoo seems really unsafe. Like, anybody could just walk up to a cheetah and put their hand right through the bars. Oh, and I have a note here. Maybe they shouldn't strap the cattle prod to Ed Begley's arm when he's shoving it inside a cage. It's a good way to lose an arm. I'm also really confused about John Hurt. I don't even have this as a note. I never want to see John Hurt having sex again. All I think of him is the dad in Home Alone. I don't want to see him humping and pumping all over Natasha Kinski ever again in my life. This is unrewatchable. I don't understand his relationship with Alice.
Yeah, that was a little...
Annette O'Toole, she's... Right. Are they dating? Are they not dating?
By the end, they are, especially right?
At the end, they are.
At the beginning, because they kissed a couple times at the beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
I don't know. Oh, so then there was a scene where Malcolm McDowell has sex with that blonde woman and then kills her. And then he sort of wakes up and is he molting? But it looked like he went over to the mirror and it looked like he peeled like a piece of ham off of his chest and then ate it.
Yeah.
Like what are you putting in your mouth, sir?
I thought it was kind of like a placebo kind of thing. Like he morphed back to human. Animals, that's what cats do. They eat the placebo after they give birth to kittens.
The placenta?
The placenta. That's placebo. That's it.
Yeah. And then Natasha tricks her brother by telling her that, she'll go along with him. And she's got this huge piece of glass in her hand, ready to attack. And the best she could do, she can't stab him in the neck. She couldn't poke him in the eye. She scrapes the back of his hand a little bit. She deserves everything she got. My next note is this movie is so freaking slow. The human hand coming out of the panther during the autopsy was the only part of the movie that I liked. Because it was like almost a jump scare. I guess maybe if you'd seen it in a movie theater and you were out of it. There was a scene too where Natasha Kinski is like, she's at like a train depot or something. At first it looked like it was like a airline hangar or something, but she walks in front of all of these windows behind her. And the entire screen is just her standing there in a dress with a scarf and all these windows behind her. And then it's like, you could almost hear him say, cue the wind machine. Because she stood there for like 2 minutes, just with the wind blowing her dress in the breeze. Just dumb. And speaking of dumb clothing, there's that scene where Malcolm McDowell meets her outside and he's got no shirt on, but he's got like high-waisted pants.
Yeah, he looks like a ballet dancer.
Those are Kylo Ren pants. Like, I've never seen them so high-waisted before.
Well, the cop is like the lieutenant or something, had this black slick coat on. I think I texted it to the group.
Yeah, you did. Yeah.
Yeah, it was weird.
It was the most bizarre police coat I've ever seen.
Yeah. I was impressed that we all got to see Lana Lang's boobs. I didn't think that would have shown up in this film. That's Annette O'Toole. She played Lana Lang in Superman.
Yeah, I looked. Is that Peter O'Toole's daughter?
No idea. I don't know.
So anyway, I just have last notes. Just shoot the damn cat already. And again, I don't think this zoo is safe. You shouldn't be able to walk up and just feed a panther with some meat from your pocket. And then how long do we have to stare at a freeze frame of that panther at the end of the movie?
That was awkward.
Before we finally let David Bowie sing the damn song.
That was awkward.
It's like they paused on the cat and then they let it move again for like 2 seconds. And then they paused again, like, cue Bowie.
Yeah.
It's just, I hope Paul Schrader does it better than how he directs with Natasha Kinski.
Apparently not.
Yeah.
Apparently not.
By the way, Annette O'Toole is not related to Peter O'Toole.
So all she, because I knew she looked familiar. I was like, why does she look so familiar?
She's also in the It miniseries.
That's what's been driving me crazy. Okay. She was in the It miniseries. All right. And also, the detective was Christian Slater's dad from Pump Up the Volume.
Yeah.
And it was driving me crazy. Like, I'd seen this guy before. It's like, who was it? And so I had to look, and I was like, Pump Up the Volume, Dad. Awesome. All right. Well, thanks for watching that film.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Catherine. All right.
I don't believe I had to rent that film.
Jeez. I know.
Oh, boy. Okay, so did you buy it?
No. I was, all right. This is going to be the opposite of picks of like my home invasion. Or what was the one that I had? The abduction horror.
Abduction horror, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I...
So strike one. Go ahead, Mark. Sorry. No,
it wasn't strike one, pause. Actually.
Yeah.
Don't... Just give me a bowl of chili. All right. So, and also, Shannon watched that film, Cat People, and she looked at me and she said, you owe me an apology. So,
what movie?
Yeah. Cat People. Yeah. Oh. She said, you owe me an apology for that. I was like,
all of us an apology.
All of us.
When I was watching Cat People with Shannon, I looked at her, I was going, I'm walking into a firing squad next episode. And she's going, yeah, you deserve it.
I feel bad for like Nezbitowski. He'd probably watch that.
What?
Nezbitowski?
He probably did. Yeah.
Yeah. He trusts
us. Nah.
Well, don't feel too sorry because he probably watched it just to make fun of Mark. So,
you know. Yeah, it's true.
I'm sure I'll get a message from him after this episode. After this.
Okay, so we jumped 10 years forward to 1992 to Bram Stoker's Dracula, directed by Francis Ford Coppola, starring Gary Oldman, Winona Ryder, Anthony Hopkins, and of course our beloved Keanu Reeves. If you don't know the plotline to Dracula, I don't know what to tell you. Of course, there are countless versions of this classic tale, but this is pretty much the version that most people know. This version of Dracula was highly anticipated because director Francis Ford Coppola was making this film. The budget was $40 million, and it almost made back its money in one weekend. It grossed $215 million worldwide. I remember seeing Dracula back in when it was released opening weekend, and I absolutely thought it was fantastic. I love that they're all practical effects. Keanu Reeves didn't really bother me as much. I mean, his acting is he's going up against Gary Oldman. What are you going to do? He's going to look bad. He's going up, with Anthony Hopkins. He's going to look bad. It's Keanu Reeves' acting style doesn't match these beautiful other styles of acting that Anthony Hopkins and Gary Oldman has. Winona Ryder, I think, is fantastic. Absolutely stunning and beautiful. I think she was dating Johnny Depp at the time. I don't blame him. It's a great film. It's very erotic. It's the moaning, the breathing, so much breathing in this film. I absolutely adore this film. I watch it a lot of times, and I haven't watched it probably in the past like 4 years, but at rewatching this, especially like at the beginning with just how Francis just cuts all these scenes together. He goes really heavy with these practical special effects, and it's just mesmerizing to watch. I love how Gary Oldman turns his character turns into Dracula, and how it with the music score, just one of the best title cards, like probably in the top 100 best title cards, I think, in cinema history. So we're going to start off with Mr. Matthew Speak.
Yeah, I mean, I loved this when I first saw it in the theater. and I do think, I think it's probably, it's some casting decisions away from being like a masterpiece. Keanu Reeves just can't act. That's not what he's here for. He is maybe okay at action, I guess. But he's not an actor. He's terrible in this. It's so awful. Like it's probably the worst performance in a great movie of all time. I can't think of, except for maybe another movie with him in it, Dangerous Liaisons, where he almost ruins that movie with his, luckily that part, neither of these parts are big enough to really hurt it that much, but oh my God, every time he speaks, it's like, what were they thinking other than just bandwagoning on this young up and coming actor, I guess. I don't know. Winona Ryder, I mean, he makes Winona Ryder look good in this. She's okay. I don't know why they didn't just cast British people, though. It's her accent is a little, it's almost too British in a way that it doesn't sound like a natural British accent. I do, you know, I still love the shadow play on the walls. The movie still looks amazing. I don't understand why he hired so many American actors to play Brits. Most of their accents are hit and miss. Carrie Elwes accent is probably the best of them, but even his slips. The jump scare hanging down from the ceiling towards the end where they come into the room and all of a sudden the vampire just drops down right in front of you is a little cheesy at this day and age now. I'd never thought of it much before, but this time it really seemed kind of cheesy. But I really love the look of this. I think it has a consistent style
Hey, Matt.
Yeah.
Carrie Elwes was born in London.
Oh. Well, then.
That's why.
Then I guess his accent. Yeah, I guess his accent was all right. Let's see. Yeah, overall, it's, you know, it's a great movie. I think I kind of felt as we were watching this, like this, we'd seen it, like we'd watched it before for a pick. And so I kept looking and I guess we hadn't, but I know I've talked about it before this, but I guess maybe it was just like for a Shocktober pick or something like that. But yeah, good movie.
Catherine.
All right. It is beautiful. It is the costumes, the set, the makeup, the special effects, everything about it is just beautiful. It's directed well. Gary Oldman is fantastic. But again, it was so long. I was like, my very last note is this movie makes me sleepy. I have questions. And maybe it's in the original text. Maybe they explained it and I just missed it. I love the fact that Vlad makes himself Dracula. Like, he just kind of wills it upon himself, it seems.
Mm-hmm.
But then why is he old and how does he become young again? Is that just because he drank someone's blood? How does he get young?
I think maybe
he was draining all the crew on the Voyager, yeah. Dimitri.
Okay, so it's just the blood.
That's what it was. Okay. It just, yeah, all that's that, it. Yeah.
And I thought young Dracula looks a lot like Johnny Depp. No. Why does he have hairy palms? Is that a vampire?
Oh, the white hair at the beginning.
Yeah.
Well, he hasn't been around Nina for a while, so.
And then there's the one scene where I think it's Lucy he's attacking. He's a werebat? What is that? Is that a thing that Dracula does?
I just thought it was a look of like a vampire, like human and a vampire bat, you know?
It's okay,
just,
it looked more like a wolf bat. I wasn't sure what that was. And then how can you go out in the daytime? Oh, did.
Joe looked it up.
I looked it up because I didn't. There's a couple times where he turns into a wolf, and I'm like, "That's not right. That's two different movies." But apparently, in the original text, he could do that, and as we know, he could always turn into a bat as well. So this is kind of just a hybrid of the two. He was probably just confused, couldn't make up his mind because you know, he's standing in front of Lucy.
Yeah, in the book, he changes into a wolf, and his wives change into wolves too.
Okay.
He also turned into rats too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then how can he go out in the daytime?
He can be smoke. He can be a lot of things.
I thought Dracula or vampires couldn't go out in sunlight, but yet he's wandering around London like it's no big deal.
Yeah.
Just because. All right. Those were my questions. I was like,
yeah, that one, that doesn't make sense
everything.
At all. Because at the end of the movie, they're in a race against the sunset. So
right?
I don't know,
so I
like,
don't know.
Why
Lots
was he walking
sunscreen.
Around? Yeah.
All right. But other than those things, I thought the movie was great. I just had lots of questions. Oh, and Keanu Reeves looks like he just came off the set of Bill and Ted. There's one set, yes. one scene in particular, his hair is kind of a little
white.
Matted and disfrayed, and he, yeah. I was like, oh, this looks just like Bill and
yeah.
Ted. But yeah. Other than that,
Joey.
Good pick, Mark. Good pick, Mark.
Thanks. Joey, what? And I know you loved it.
I really like the musical score. I know I've said this before when we watched The Cell, that the armor was designed by the same woman. And
really?
I just think his armor is just absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
It's very creative. I can't tell you how many times I've seen this. I never realized until this most recent watch that Anthony Hopkins also plays the head priest.
Yeah.
When Vlad comes to him after the war and his wife had died and he's freaking out. I didn't just never noticed it before.
Wow. That's the first time you noticed. Wow.
Yeah. I do like this movie for nothing else, but if it weren't for this film, I would never get to see Mr. Burns on The Simpsons play Dracula. So for that, I tip my hat. Yeah, I had the same note. Keanu Reeves' accent always takes me out of this film. Apparently, Gary Oldman, the scene where he's shaving Keanu Reeves, he was like blind drunk during the filming of that scene. Thanks, IMDb. I do like the practical effects that they used to seduce Keanu Reeves, the ghost footprints, and then like Monica Bellucci and all of her friends like coming out of the bedding. That was kind of neat. That was until Dracula comes in and cock blocks him. Yeah, I got the same note too about the werewolf until I looked it up. I too don't really care for Winona Ryder's accent in this. I never have. But the one person that I think gets overlooked so much that I think deserves higher praise is Tom Waits as Renfield.
He's great.
He's spectacular.
He's yeah. so good in it.
I need to start watching more films with Tom Waits in it. But mm-hmm. Yeah, and again, for some reason, this bothered me this time too, that Anthony Hopkins is so, I don't know, creepy and forceful when he meets Mina for the first time, just like forcing her to dance with him, that scene.
Yeah.
It just seems so, I don't know.
Seems like weird. Dr. Loomis in Halloween 5.
Yes. yeah. Vlad is a really, really ugly crier. When he starts crying, the purple tears in his face goes, oh, it's just bleh. The one thing that did bother me about the effects is when it's snowing at the end, is it just me or did they like use soap flakes like they used to back in the olden days?
Yeah, they were super
because
big.
None of the flakes were melting on anything.
Yeah, so, no. I like that effect though.
I do like this film. I used to have this poster for this film in my dorm room in college, I think. But I haven't watched it in a really long time. And I will say I like it less the more I watch it. Like, I'd rather just not
too,
watch it again and just, you know, relish the memory of how I used to like it.
Yeah.
And I what's her name? Sadie Frost. Who plays Lucy. She yeah. was tremendous. I loved her.
Yeah, she's fantastic in that. Yeah, those flowing nightgowns in the rain, it showed a lot. I was just like, whoa. exactly. That was a wowie, wow, wow, wow.
Oh, I can't believe we wrapped this all up in under an hour. Just
no. Wow. Perfect. All right, well, next time.
No, there is no next time. It's now. It's now. So here we are. We are with Basic Instinct, same year, 1992. It's a violent police detective that investigates a brutal, brutal murder that might involve a manipulative and seductive novelist. So while Kara, should I explain why I think this is a horror film?
No.
Yes.
Thanks, Catherine.
I want to
hear my comrade. And
why do you
he made this choice. Let's have him justify it.
She hasn't been here long enough.
Let's have him justify it.
She'll get tired of it, Catherine, after a while too.
What do you mean? It's like, look, Catherine's just got a smile on her face, and then Joe's just leading with his palm in his chin. Matt's just this droopy-eyed look right now, just exhausted.
Please just get us through this.
All right,
so
I will.
So we never have to hear about this
bullshit again. You keep interrupting me.
Tick-tock.
All right, so while categorized as an erotic thriller, Basic Instinct shares a significant DNA with the horror genre, specifically through its slasher film and Italian Giallo influences.
Do you want to just send me the link to the page you're reading off of?
I'm not. See, I view it as a horror adjacent film because, one, it has a presence of a mysterious unseen killer using a bladed weapon. Two, it has a signature weapon, an ice pick, right? Three, it's got two graphic kills. And these kills are graphic. She stabs this guy 31 times with an ice pick. You see the blood. You see the puncture wounds. You see the ice pick go through his skull, through his nose. It's really, really graphic. It's more graphic than any of the kills in Psycho or Psycho 2 or Psycho 3. This kill is more graphic than any of those Psycho kills. Four, it's a classic horror trope, death by sex. Graphic sex means graphic violent deaths. Five, this movie is heavily influenced by Alfred Hitchcock, particularly Psycho and Vertigo with the music. It has a haunting score that builds an atmospheric forbidding mood. That's why I think it's horror adjacent. That's why I think it can be involved in this discussion. And also Catherine said that other horror podcasts has talked about Basic Instinct. So let's start off with Joey, since I don't want him to be last. Joe?
Yeah.
I thought you were asleep.
Oh, are we still recording?
Yes, we're still recording.
What time is it?
Joe.
That?
Joey.
So this is directed by Paul Verhoeven. Mm-hmm. Matt. I'm only asking Matt. Do you know what else Paul Verhoeven made?
Fucking Showgirls.
Yeah, Showgirls.
Also,
shut up, Mark.
Okay,
I'm talking. Also, Matt, the guy that wrote this, Joe Esterhaus. You know what else he wrote?
Fucking Showgirls.
Not only did he write Showgirls, he wrote Showgirls 2, Pennies from Heaven.
Oh Jesus!
And Basic Instinct 2.
True.
Oh crap.
There's other films.
Nope. It's Joe. Joe's I'm talking. Sure Joe's talking.
Nope. Yep. Yep.
Where's that mute? There it is.
Yeah. And you know that stabbing where he gets stabbed in the eye. This Paul Verhoeven, such a master of the lens. I could barely tell that it was a dummy that gets stabbed in the eye. It was actually really blatant, if you ask me. Gene Triplehorn is really the only thing that I like in this film. One thing that bothers me about this plot is this takes place in 1992, and DNA testing was prevalent in solving crimes. And not once did they bring up, why don't they just do some DNA testing? I mean, it's all over the place. They made fun of the Pollock painting that he'd shot all over the place in the first couple of seasons.
Well, then the movie would only be 10 minutes long.
That would have made me much happier. That's only 10 minutes that I got to sit through watching this thing. I love the fact that Michael Douglas has to drive that shitbox 86 Dodge Diplomat, but Sharon Stone gets to drive around a 91 Lotus. So, but I will say Michael Douglas does have some wonderful taste in television, because we see him watching TV twice, and it's Hellraiser and the Jeffersons. Yep. So
I made that Hellraiser note too.
Yeah, I mean, Hellraiser is in it. So that is horror.
Oh, well, yeah, you're right, Mark. I totally forgot. Michael Douglas looks so awkward when he's dancing in the club with his V-neck sweater and his Lee jeans, and everybody else is, he's just so out of place in that. Gus, the cowboy partner who calls everybody Hoss, just, I did not care. He's such a stupid archetype, you know?
Mm-hmm.
He falls, in my opinion, he falls into the realm of bumbling cops. So, oh, and my note is refer to Mark as Hoss for the entire episode for making me watch this. Gene Triplehorn looks terrible as a blonde. I got so bored with the sex scenes over and over again. And then, oh no, there's an ice pick on the floor next to the bed. Maybe she really was the killer. And then my last note was, well, who cares? So I got dizzy watching this film because I was rolling my eyes so much, and I could care less about what's her name's taco. Just keep your legs closed, lady. So this was just over glorified. It's like, oh my God, this is so edgy in the 90s. So not my cup of tea.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah.
All right. Catherine.
All right. So I will say it was more gory and violent than I remembered it or expected it to be. Those deaths, you're right, Mark, those were pretty. You see a lot of blood. There's a lot of gore there. Michael Douglas is the king of the yuppie nightmares. Between this and Fatal Attraction and what's the other one he does with Disclosure? It's just like, dear Lord. The other terrifying thing about this movie is you get to see his butt, which we don't need there.
Oh, don't remind me.
That is pretty horrifying.
Michael Douglas' ass.
I love it. Very early on in the movie, you're getting a round table of these different psychiatric people, and maybe it's the cops are there too. And I was like, God, I know that voice. I know that voice. Where is that? Oh, it's Ned Ryerson from Groundhog Day. He was one of the psychiatrists in the early scene.
Yep.
And then when they're in that infamous scene with Sharon Stone, when they're interrogating her, I was like, why is it so dark in here? Like, why don't they turn on the lights? It's like basically
it's a
just
mood
the,
setting.
I know, but it's like, why is it so dark? Yeah, that was all my notes. But you know, Sharon Stone is great. I gotta say, she's really good in this.
I think she's wonderful in it.
But my love
how Newman acts like he's never seen a woman
before
in his life.
Oh, that's the other thing. Because of this movie, we get him as Nedry in Jurassic Park. I saw that in the IMDb trivia that Steven Spielberg saw this movie, loved him for Nedry, and he was the first person he cast in Jurassic Park.
See? Without basic instinct.
Small favors.
Small favors, right? Well, thanks, Catherine. Thanks for reviewing the film with open mind. And with that, we go to Mr. Matthew Speak. Fire away, Matthew.
I did not watch this because you were told, no, do not do this. And then you left town and left it for Catherine to do live on the show, which I did not appreciate. Joe and I said no, and you went ahead and did it anyway. So I did not watch this, and I refused to watch it. I refused to play your reindeer games. So I have nothing to say.
You'll get a call from HR in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Jeez. Well, thanks, Matt. Thanks for that. Thanks for playing along.
You know, it would have been better if you'd come yourself, waited until your next pick, and then defended it, presented your case. Instead, now you said, I'm going to Hawaii anyway, so I'm just going to leave it with Catherine.
That's not what I did.
It's exactly 100% you did.
It's not what I did. I was like, hey,
it was
Catherine,
cowardly.
Can you help me out?
You left it to us to have to put up with it live on the show. So cowardly. And I refused to participate. So next episode.
Next episode.
We're going to
what are we doing,
to Matt? Some. What's that?
What are we doing next, Matt?
Next episode, we're going to do something. Now, Joe, I don't know if you're aware of this, but there's such a thing as actual horror movies that are erotic. So I'm doing erotic horror. Yeah. Next episode, we're going to watch three actual horror movies that maybe most people haven't seen. I haven't seen any of these three. I think, Joe, you've seen one. And so, I mean, Mark gave us a movie that's not a horror movie. He gave us kind of on the nose classic vampire thing. And then he gave us a horrible movie on top of it. So we're going to do three movies. Erotic horror. Sorry, fans, if you are going to get tired of erotic, but there's more to these movies than just that. So the first one is Bone Lake from 2024. It is on Netflix. It is on, it's on Netflix, or you can rent it if you don't have Netflix. But that is Bone Lake from, I think it just came out. Actually, it says 2024, but it was a 25 movie, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Next is one called The Untamed from 2016. And this one is on Tubi or let's see. Yeah, no, it's on Tubi. I think, let me just double check to make sure it's not anything else. Yeah, Tubi. Or it's not for some reason, it's not for rent on Amazon, but you can rent it on Apple TV Plus or Google Play, YouTube, any of those places. So, but if you have Tubi, obviously everybody has Tubi. So, Canopy is the other one. That's the one that I think you use your library card for or whatever. It's on Canopy. So that's called
There is another Untamed movie that's on Netflix, but that's from 2019. Oh, sorry. Then that's a TV show.
Yeah. No, this one's The Untamed. Japanese. From 2016. And I think this might be, I think it's maybe a French film. I'm not sure. And then last but not least is another foreign film. It's called The Lure. And this one's about a couple of mermaids who lure men. So this is on Tubi, Criterion. It's on a bunch of stuff, actually. Criterion Channel, HBO Max. Yeah, Tubi, Criterion Channel, HBO Max, or Plex, I think. Or you can rent it, I guess, if you don't have any of those. And this is from 2015, The Lure.
The Lure.
So next episode, erotic horror.
Erotic horror.
Yeah. So for those of you thirsting for erotica. What's that?
Oh, erotica. Veronica.
What do you mean, Veronica? Let me see.
Veronica.
Glenn Danzig film.
Yes.
Oh, God. That's right.
Yes.
Oh, God. That's right.
So I'm still, whenever I get spare time, which isn't very often, I go back and I'm still trying to create that IMBD.
Oh.
Where I go through every single episode and I listen to us intro movies and like talk about, or so I'm making a database of all the movies that we've either recommended or watched as an assignment. And I think today I got up to episode 41.
Wow.
But I think in the 40s, early 40, like 40 or 41, somewhere around that time is when we had watched Veronica.
Yeah. And that, and back then, I mean, for a long time, we were watching five movies a week. So
So I was looking through that today. We didn't start going to this format where we just watched three until like 102. So yeah. I have 60 more episodes where we talk about anywhere from 20 to 30 movies. Think about it too.
October.
There were like,
I was gonna say.
Yeah. And then October, we're talking about a ton of them, but you know, there were episodes where, like, Matt, you would watch like 10 movies on the side, just on top of what we were assigned. And I would do the same, and Mark would do the same. And then we had Jimmy on for a while. Yeah, it was just, so if somebody watched a movie that they were, you know, not assigned, I'm putting the name of the movie, the year the movie came out, and who watched it.
Got it.
So
that'll be great once it's done.
Yeah, it's quite a
Oh my gosh, it's
done. I've only been working on it for about 3 months.
Yeah, there are listeners that actually ask this, like, hey, where can we find this episode, you know, this movie that we've, you know, that they want to hear us talk about. And I'm like, I believe the host Joe Jance is working on that. I didn't know you were like really grinding out, man. That's awesome. Yeah, I appreciate it.
It's a huge list so far.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, go to www.cinescarehorror.com and check out our merchandise. And also, if you have a short film, please submit to the Cinescare Horror Film Festival Burbank coming up in October. We right now, I believe, have like, 15 submissions so far. And it's early in submissions, so not bad for a first-time brand-new film festival. I haven't watched any yet, but we'll start distributing them to you guys to judge. So, yeah.
I also want to point out to anybody in the St. Louis area, late March, like the 26th through the 29th, if anybody's out there, I'm going to be making an appearance at Transworld's Halloween and Attractions show.
Nice.
So fun. I will be there. That's where a lot of the people that put on like haunts and haunted houses and whatnot throughout the year, they go to get all these giant like special effects for their haunts and animatronics and all that other stuff. So.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Nice. Are you going to have a Sweet. Booth there? Or?
No, I'm just, I bought a ticket.
Oh. Well, also, there, look for Joe.
Yeah, yeah, I see that guy waving around saying, hey, have you seen Cinescare?
You should get one of those hats like that guy, like that guy from 30 Rock. it just should just say, I'm Joe, you know, and then they'll know who it is.
This is Frank Rossitano.
Frank Rossitano, yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah.
Also, there's a Catherine and I are going to be on a podcast, Real Beans, that's coming out later in March.
March
10th, we're going to be discussing Friday 13th.
Nice.
So get ready for that.
Excellent. And I think there's a Friday 13th in this month as well, right? Yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Well, I guess that's it for this time. So we'll Another see you next time.
Gem in the can. Yeah. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
See anything you like?
Have you all got amnesia? They just cheated us!
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
We've got a death curse!
It was a shark.
Little pig, let me come in.
We all go a little mad sometimes.
What was living behind that boy's eyes was purely and simply evil.
I'm just gonna bash your brains.
So happy to bring a little flick of a tongue to taste of this genre's.